Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. Stick around, listen up. It's going to be great. Hello. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston for episode Sank. Wow, my fifth episode. I think everyone's getting better and better, so I hope that's how you guys feel. Remember to come see us at the Sawyer Yards Arts District second Saturday every 12 to 5. I'm in the Winter Street studio, and my guest today is Gary Watson, and he is in the Spring Street studios. I think Spring Street is also one of those, I'm upstairs at Winter, and Spring Street is a couple blocks away, one of those studios that gets forgotten. So I don't want anyone to forget about Spring Street Studios. And after we listen to Gary Watson today, you're going to be, I'm sure, intrigued and want to go visit his studio. So let's welcome Gary. Gary is a retired filmmaker of a certain age. I'm not telling. But the history is going to make your interest be piqued even more because it is long-lived and very, very interesting. We're going to get into all of that. Let's welcome Gary into Rhonda's Lounge.
Thank you for inviting me to your lounge.
You are so welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I have been inviting, like, mostly friends on these first episodes, people that aren't too worried about being in an experiment. But I think it's turning out okay.
I think this is wonderful.
Yes.
And I want to say, you mentioned Spring Street Studios. I'm very proud to be part of that community over there at Spring Street Studios. It's a wonderful community of artists, and we're very supportive of each other. And I love the energy and the inspiration that I get from being around all my colleagues there.
That's right. That's right. A lot of people come in here, I think, that are just interested in getting studios. They're unsure of where they are in their careers and whatnot. And I do think when you do make that commitment of a studio, your work does take a jump just by the virtue of, like, the commitment of being there and displaying it, making it, whatever happens.
Oh, exactly. And you feed on the energy and the ideas of other people in the building, too, because you see things and you think, oh, that's great, that's wonderful, oh, that's so exciting. And, mm-hmm. and it makes you rethink sometimes what you're doing and maybe go off a little bit different direction from time to time.
Give you a little few wings to fly.
Exactly.
Baby artist wings. So, Gary, my generic question to people is whether or not they went to art school. You are a photographer. Did you go to school for that, or did you do something else?
When I first started college, I was actually a music major and then switched very quickly to radio, television, film. And so my studies at school were in filmmaking. And then I worked for a very long time, well over 3 decades in the filmmaking industry.
37 years,
I think, was what it was. I think that may be correct.
Almost 4 decades. Okay, that's fabulous.
And then I retired from the filmmaking business. I had my own small production company at the time I retired.
And here in Houston.
Here in Houston, yes. Actually, at Spring Street Studios. I moved into Spring Street Studios with a video production company that I was running. And did that for a couple of years. And then I, when I decided that I was going to retire from the film
industry. You said you retired.
I retired in 2014, and thinking back on it, I think that must have been about 39 years, almost 40 years in the filmmaking business. And but everything I was doing at the end was completely digital. When I retired, I had a longing to re-experience the actual photographic process. So I decided I was going to start experimenting with some black and white film photography and bought myself a large format 4x5 view camera and started playing around with that. And it kind of stuck. So that's still what I'm doing today, but I've added a number of other cameras. I shoot multiple formats. I use for the most part, vintage cameras with vintage lenses, oftentimes to get certain looks, and to the tools don't make the photographs, but the tools guide you into working a certain way. So that informs to a certain extent how you create your images.
Yes, yeah. More tactile, maybe.
It's more tactile, and personally I feel more engaged because I do shoot film.
Then I developed the negative, so the next time the photo reveals itself to me is on the developed roll of negative. So that's the first time I physically see the efforts of my work. And then I don't do contact sheets like photographers used to back in the day. I do scan my negatives initially on the computer, and that's when I evaluate the images. So that's the next time the photo reveals itself to me. So I see the first positive output from the negatives.
On a computer screen.
On a computer screen.
Okay.
And then I choose the negatives that I want to print from those scans.
Oh, nice.
So then the next time the photo reveals itself to me is when I make the print in the darkroom, which looks completely different from the computer scan.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a process that is a creative process as well, making the darkroom print. So there's that, and then the final revelation of the photograph is when it's framed and it's on the wall.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of steps.
A lot of steps.
That I can completely appreciate because of painting. It's like, it sounds like it, anyway.
Every photograph, because of the process, every photograph is done in a very mindful way.
Yeah, I get that about you, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It's the thing that, you know, when you're looking through the viewfinder and you've got a camera in your hand, and if you've got a 35mm camera, and I use some very old Leicas from the 1930s and 40s, and you've got a load of film, you know you've got 36 exposures. You don't have thousands like would go on a card in a digital camera. Mm-hmm. You have 36 exposures in your camera at the time. So your brain is always on.
Mm-hmm.
You're always looking, thinking. When you got your eye to the viewfinder, you're judging and making decisions about when to push that button.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might push it 3, 4, 5 times in a certain shot, but not 100 times, not 30 times, you know, and so, but your brain is completely engaged with the subject, with the way you're making, and because the cameras are all manual, you're completely engaged with the mechanism of making the photograph.
Yeah.
So it's you're not only engaged on an emotional and intellectual level with your subject, you're also engaged with the equipment.
Yes.
On a mechanical level as
right.
well.
You have to control it.
And so you're completely in control of what you're doing.
Right.
So, you know, these are the things that I enjoy about working with the old cameras, and particularly in documentary situations where you're working on the fly and looking and discovering photographs as they happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then going into the dark room and making the prints and
it sounds really exciting to me. I love all that process sort of thing where things build and there's layers and you're also all the time thinking. Maybe you start to develop some sort of concept or goal of what you hope, but you know it's going to grow arms and legs and it's going to change.
Right,
and
exactly.
So, but you can still like kind of sit with that concept and then, I don't know, like you know, a child, like raising a child. You don't know what you're going to get. hopefully, all the effort you put into it, you know that there is a success there. Maybe that's not the best analogy.
Well, fortunately with a negative, if it doesn't turn out the way you want, you could just not print it.
Okay. Not with the children, right?
Not with the children.
Now, you mentioned documentary. I think that's a pet project that you've done before. You want to talk about some of your projects?
Well, as a photographer, I have a lot of different styles, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what that comes from is, as a filmmaker working out of Houston, there wasn't really an opportunity to specialize in any particular style. So One phone call I would get that would be for maybe a documentary shoot where I would have a camera on my shoulder and running around making it up as I went along. And then the next day I might get a phone call to come in to shoot food pictures, very detailed and very precise and very planned out, or a commercial or something like mm-hmm. that. So I spent a lot of time being able to work both on the fly and both in a very detailed way. So you'll see my work if you come to my studio and my gallery and take a look at what I've got. You'll see a lot of documentary work.
Mm-hmm.
I like political issue mm-hmm. documentary mm-hmm. work, so I do a lot of that. But then you'll also see things that I've shot in the studio that are very detailed, that are lit and composed and very precisely lined out.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'll go out, I'll get the urge to go out and shoot some documentary. I'll do a lot of documentary. And then once I've done that, I'll think, you know, I really want to do something in the studio. So I'll just switch gears and go into that for a while mm-hmm. until I'm decided I want to go back and do documentary.
That's cool. Yeah. Do you do your editing and printing in your studio space?
Yes, in my studio space.
Oh,
yes.
It's a workspace.
It is a workspace.
That's cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've got it divided up so mm-hmm. that I've got a little gallery area,
right.
little desk area, and a darkroom area in the back. And the gallery area, when I do shoot in the studio, I just move all the furniture back, and it becomes a shooting studio for me.
Sweet. Yes. I've been in your studio. You have a great studio.
Thank you.
You're upstairs still?
Upstairs, yes.
Yeah. What's the number?
229.
229 in the Spring Street Studios.
Right.
Well, that sounds like I think everyone should go visit you there.
Well, I hope so.
See what you have going on. Yeah. And probably get a lot of feeling of what you're talking about in all these different genres almost. Mm-hmm. You have different genres. I remembered to ask you a question. I'm so glad, because I wanted to just interrupt you a minute ago and I didn't do it.
Okay.
But you're talking about vintage cameras,
mm-hmm.
This particular camera from the 1930s. Where in the world do you acquire these pieces of equipment? You can't even hardly get film anywhere.
A couple of things. There are a couple of different questions there. One, I find the cameras all over the place. I find them on eBay. One was actually given to me by someone who wasn't using it anymore. My latest acquisition for a camera, I got it at an antique shop here in Houston,
okay.
over in the Montrose, and I think it's a World War II vintage Speed Graphic, which is an old press camera, shoots 4x5 negatives. It's very clunky and awkward to use. I have a lot of respect for photojournalists from the 30s and 40s who use those cameras.
Right.
But it's been tremendous fun for me. I've been testing it and just getting started with it. But that one came from an antique store. I cleaned it up, did some adjustments on it, and it's making some beautiful photographs. And they kind of come from people's collections and people's closets, and I get them fixed up and put them to work. And as far as the film, the amazing thing, a lot of people think that film is just not available anymore. It is. It's very easily available. It's not as plentiful as it was back in the day when everybody was shooting their vacations on 35mm film. But there are sources. There are sources in Houston where you can buy film. I buy film sometimes from a supplier in New York. But Kodak is very much still alive, and Ilford film in England is really, really big in the black and white photography industry. So it's all there. All the paper, all the chemicals and processes that you need are still available. You just have to look a little harder to find them than before.
You're not hoarding this stuff, are you?
No.
Okay, good. So do you do any color work at all?
You know, I do. I have little affairs with color from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do color in-house.
Okay.
So it's a different process. It's actually kind of a hybrid process. So where all of my black and white photography is completely analog from front to back, that I shoot on film and I print silver gelatin prints in the darkroom. With color, I shoot color negative film, and I do have to send that off to a lab for developing. I haven't started doing my own color developing. So I send it off, I get the negatives back. Color printing is not something I've gotten into. So what happens there is I scan the negatives, and instead of just scanning it for evaluation, I scan it actually for printing. Mm-hmm. So I will shoot the color negative in the camera, get that back from the lab, scan it, make a printing file. So my color prints are some form of inkjet from a lab.
Okay, cool. I can tell you the black and white is your forte. The dramatic signature is in the black and white, for sure.
It is. It's my preferred look. I really feel strongly about black and white. Occasionally, there's a shot that color is the reason for making the shot, but it's not always. Yeah. And in fact, it's not often for me. For me, the black and white renders what I'm looking for perfectly.
Yeah. Are you a film noir fan?
I love film noir.
I went to Canada, and there's a theater in Vancouver, and we saw Mildred Pierce with Joan Crawford. It was the best experience. It was so fun. Of course, I've discovered on Netflix they have like a whole film noir section you can watch at home. But yeah, I love black and white for that film too.
Well, being a former filmmaker and a lover of film noir and lover of things black and white, I love black and white movies. And I have a sort of an ongoing series that I shoot for every once in a while. In fact, I shot a new piece for it this morning. The series is called Gods and Monsters. And it's all images that are inspired by movie monsters and scary people from the movies in the 30s and 40s.
You've done this before.
Yes.
Where you... Gary did I have these images in my brain very readily of because one of the models that I used for painting was one of your models.
Oh.
So Gary really manufactured the entire, I mean, you were the director, the producer, you did everything with these photos.
It's like making a movie in one shot.
That's what it felt like. It felt like scenes from a movie that were put together.
I'm glad you sensed that, because that was the goal. The goal was to evoke the Hollywood lighting style of the 30s and 40s and the look and feel of these films, these horror films of the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so you are adding to that project. Are you...
You know, I get an idea every once in a while, and I just... And I call... the makeup person I work with and find the model and we work up the makeup and make it happen.
Yeah,
you know. And
cool.
So I shot one this morning and I'm eager to see the negatives when I develop those. And then we were talking about the next one, which we'll probably do in a couple of months.
Great. Do you have any shows hanging right now or something coming up?
I've got... I was just finished at Art Hop in Georgetown, and I got second place in the photography division there.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I was excited about that. In San Francisco, at the San Francisco Public Library, they're showing a series I did called We're Just People, which is the story about a transgender woman who lives in Houston, and it's her story, and that series originally was exhibited at the Tank Space at Spring Street Studios in January of this year.
Why don't you describe the Tank Space?
The Tank Space, it's an interesting little space. It's a little tiny room that originally, I believe, was built for a photo fest exhibition for a video screening room.
Okay.
And after photo fest was over, they decided to keep the room. And I think it's something like 8 by 12 feet, something like that. And it is a space that is a curated space with rotating exhibitions in the space. And I was the first person in there this year with the We're Just People series.
And now it's in San Francisco.
And now it's in San Francisco.
That's amazing.
It just opened Saturday.
How many pieces did you...
It's 19 pieces.
Okay.
Right. And so after that, I've got pieces that are going to be, I have a solo show coming up during Photo Fest at Lone Star College Sci Fair, and I've got pieces that are going to be in two other Photo Fest shows in the spring.
Sweet. You're busy.
I'm working at it.
You're doing it. Yeah. That's part of the conversations I've been having up here, is just how much work being an artist, is. And now I have to be a technical wizard.
And you're doing such a great job of it.
You guys don't know, but my computer stops sometimes and I have to hit a button. But anyway, no, it's a tremendous amount of work. It's not easy. Sometimes I think it's a curse, not a blessing, but mostly it's a blessing.
You know, it's interesting because you do, one thing I'm learning, and of course I'm fairly new in this, having been a commercial filmmaker and mm-hmm. now for only not quite 4 years,
okay.
working in the realm of art
right.
As a photographer, I'm learning about the difficulties of balancing the creative process and making work mm-hmm. Against the exhibition and the outreach and all the things that you need to mm-hmm. do to be seen and to be out there.
Right. And people can find you on social media, I'm sure.
Yes,
on Facebook. Instagram?
On Instagram. It's at @FilmGary, I believe.
Okay.
And it's not at @film.gary. Don't go there because that's somebody who stole my identity on Instagram.
Oh, no.
But it's at @film.gary.
Okay.
On
and
Instagram.
Facebook. You mentioned
and I'm
Facebook.
On Facebook, G. Watson Photographer.
Okay.
And I have a website. It's G. Watson, the number 4, the letter X, the number 5.com.
Okay.
G. Watson 4x5.com.
I'm going to have to put that on the show notes so
okay.
people can just hit the link and get to your website.
That's great.
That I mentioned all those things at this time because, yeah, keeping up with social media alone is like a job.
That's a full-time job.
Yeah. But it's worth it, I suppose.
It is.
It's worth it. And I'm doing the podcast to promote the artists that are here, to introduce the, you know, buying art public, especially to the artists that they can come and visit on Second Saturdays. I'm really pushing Second Saturday, Gary. I hope
Good.
You participate in
Good.
Second Saturdays.
I do. I'm there every second Saturday
Sweet.
Of every month.
There is one this week. I won't be open myself, but I have someone that will be in my studio. It will be open from 12 to 5. I'm going to be attending the Figurative Art Conference and Expo,
wow.
FACE. Not
All
to
right.
be confused with the apparent plastic surgeons conference called FACE, but anyway, in Miami at the Biltmore Hotel.
Ooh,
yes.
Good for you.
Good for me, right. Again, another opportunity to network and get to know other artists and all that good stuff. Just like,
and that's what it's all about.
And that's what it's all about. And just like now, too.
So. And I want to thank you for doing this. This is,
you're welcome.
This is a wonderful, wonderful work that you're doing.
Thanks. We're, okay. We will have a launch party as soon as our iTunes are up, which hopefully will be not too far away. Yeah, and you'll be invited as
Excellent.
One of the special guests that came on the show to talk about his work under my. It's been called a cabana.
Oh, well, I mean, this is great. You know, there's just like this wonderful, I wish everybody could see it, you know.
I know, I need to take a picture. I keep saying I need to take a picture of all of us sitting underneath here. And today's been exceptionally quiet. You just wouldn't believe the jackhammers that were going around here last week. Because they are really making a lot of changes to the building downstairs, developing this artist alley space between Silver Street and Winter Street. And you all should come see that, and you should go to Spring Street, where that rotating art exhibit in the tank is always holding something very interesting. And if you can get to San Francisco, I would tell you go there and go to the library and
San Francisco Public Library or Mel Center.
Go see Gary's exhibit that's going on right now, or just visit his studio, and that would be the easiest for all you Houstonians. Almost said Houstonites. That's not right.
I don't think so.
No, we're Houstonians. And we just won the World Series, mister.
That's right.
So look out. Did you go to the parade?
No, I didn't.
I got this far to the studio. I had every intention of going. I had my shirt on, but I just couldn't handle it. I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it. So, Gary, I appreciate you coming in. Value your friendship and respect your work. And really look forward to everything you are.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary Watson, located in Spring Street Studios, for coming in. I appreciate your time and your stories. Gary actually texts me later, and he's like, oh, I actually worked 47 years, not 37 years. So all you youngsters out there, just so you know, you can forget 10 years and no time flat. But it is to say that he has a lot of great experience and a very good eye, and is making some really interesting work. So go visit him. Come visit me, Winter Street Studio 18. We'll have our holiday party December 11th with a few special activities during Second Saturday, 12 to 5. And I hope to see you there.